List of confirmations for appointments today, and we're going to start with the EQB confirmations, John Saxhog and Kate Knuth. Do two of you want to approach the table? And the EQB, I know for a long time, has been kind of almost, not dormant, but relatively small and small funding, and I know there's been a huge push. Governor's office, I think you've been having a lot of work being done around the state, which is welcome to see. So for some reason, I was told that one of our Senate colleagues really wanted John Saxhog to go first.
Who is he?
I don't know. We won't hold it too much against you, but welcome to the committee. And please identify yourself if you want to make a brief statement. That would be welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the Environment and Energy Committee, I am John Saxhog. As the chair indicated, I'm an Environmental Quality Board member from Minneapolis. I'm here with a request for confirmation to the Environmental Quality Board. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself, my background. I grew up in northern Minnesota, Grand Rapids, in the area of pines, mines, and lakes. I spent my early years there, and I've lived almost my entire life in Minnesota. And part of growing up in Minnesota is just having a very close relationship to the environment and natural resources. That's pretty much what directed me and drove me, well, not drove me, but put me into the University of Minnesota College of Forestry. I graduated from the College of Forestry. I also have a master's degree in business from the University of Minnesota Duluth. For the past 30-plus years, I've been involved in the management and acquisition of natural resource lands throughout Minnesota and the Midwest, and actually nationally. I started my career with Potlatch Corporation, a wood products firm in northern Minnesota. After spending 5 years there, I went to work for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, where I worked for their Department of Lands and Minerals in land acquisition and appraisal. I left the Department of Natural Resources after 14 years. At that time, I was the regional operations manager for the Lands Department. And I went to work for the United States Fish and Wildlife Service in Minnesota. Actually, that's the Midwest region of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which encompasses 8 states in the Midwest. I presently am chief of land acquisition for the Midwest region. And I would like to make this comment at this point. I am here as a citizen member. I'm not representing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at any point. I'm here on my own time and expressing myself personally. I'd like to tell you about a few things that I've been involved in. I'm a graduate of the Woodland Leadership Institute, University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. I'm a Minnesota Master Naturalist in that program. I also am a tree farmer, and I have a registered tree farm near Hinckley, Minnesota. I serve on a number of boards, or have served on a number of boards, the Milltowns Trail Board, YMCA Camp Widgiewagon Board, Minnesota Forestry Association, and also I served on the Northfield, Minnesota Environmental Quality Board. I feel I'm well qualified to serve on the Environmental Quality Board. I have the desire to. I really would like to leave a legacy in the environment in the state of Minnesota, and I ask for your confirmation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Saxhog. Any questions from the committee? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Saxhog, could you share with us what your vision for the Environmental Quality Board is?
Well, I see there are many aspects of the board, but I see three that are very important, and at this point they're being accomplished. One is, it's an interdisciplinary group representing all of the departments within the state of Minnesota that deal in environmental issues. This is the one opportunity they have to work together and to efficiently address a lot of the environmental issues that, if not for the Environmental Quality Board, would be addressed piecemeal. I've been on the Environmental Quality Board now for about a year and a half, and I have observed with the department, the commissioners, excellent cooperation and communication among that group. That's one important thing. The other is It's an excellent opportunity for the citizens of Minnesota to come befront a board of top-level policymakers and have themselves heard. This is really, I believe, the only opportunity they have in the state of Minnesota. Those are two important aspects of the board.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Sexton, nice to see you. Thank you for being here. I'm wondering about the agricultural issue of this, of the EQB, and I know you have Kristen Duncanson, who is on there, and she's actually a constituent of mine. I'm kind of thinking when her term is up and how the ag agenda, how agriculture in the state will move forward in the EQB when there is a representation that does not understand agriculture. And I personally think timber, mining, wind, the renewables, of course, animal production, crop production are all under the definition of agriculture. So just your thoughts on that and how you perceive the EQB working with agriculture and the voice of agriculture on the board.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, I do see an important role, especially for citizen members that represent various aspects of the state's economy and the state's geography. At this point, we have a member from Moorhead. The member you represented is from southern Minnesota. I believe three representatives from the Twin Cities. So I think it's important as our citizen members retire or leave the board that there is a across the state representation on that board. But we also have, of course, the Commissioner of Agriculture and the Commissioner of Natural Resources that can address those issues. But I understand your concern about the need to represent the interests in outstate Minnesota.
And again, is the Ag Commissioner is on the board, as chair of the board. I mean, obviously, I think your point is well taken about making sure those interests are represented. Are there further questions from the committee? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Senator Hoffman moves that John Saxhog be recommended to the appointment of John Saxhog to the EQB be recommended to the Senate that it be confirmed. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you.
And I'll say now before we get to all the rest, because there are a lot of people serving on citizen boards and councils here, and thank you all for your willingness to serve. You're not paid for doing this, and we have a lot of wonderful people here who are up for that. So I'll use this opportunity to thank you and all the others we're hearing from today. Thank you. Ms. Knuth, Representative Knuth, or whatever you want to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you for listening to us as we come forward and asking for confirmation to the various boards in state government, and I'm hoping to earn your vote as confirmation as a citizen member of the Environmental Quality Board. And like Mr. Saxhog, I'd like to just give you a little bit of background about myself and answer any questions that you might have. I'm really excited about this opportunity. I feel like it brings together a lot of the different professional expertise and experiences and passions that I have. Going back to a pretty young age, I wanted to be an entomologist as a kid. And so I went off to the University of Chicago and studied biology and spent my internship hours, not in politics, but sequencing the DNA of moths and out chasing them in the fields and woods of Illinois, which is where I was in school, and learned a lot. The Field Museum is one of my favorite places in the world still. And I also studied philosophy as an undergraduate and then went on to Norway as a Fulbright Fellow, where I studied environment, culture, and the oil industry, and then earned my master's in biodiversity, conservation, and management at Oxford University in the United Kingdom. And moved back home to Minnesota, and born and raised, and love Minnesota. I live in New Brighton, which is where I grew up, and served on the New Brighton Park, Rec, and Environment Commission in the middle of that commission's strategic planning process, so learned a lot of interesting things there about local government's relationship, particularly with parks and open space. And then was elected to the Minnesota State House, served with a couple people on the committee in the House, and served on the Environment and Natural Resource Finance Committee, Commerce and Labor Committee, as well as the Energy Policy and Finance Committee, and Finance and Taxes. So learned a lot about state environmental issues there. At the same time, I was working at Hamline University's Center for Global Environmental Education, and then now currently I work at the University of Minnesota at the Institute on the Environment, where I run a leadership development program for graduate and professional students and postdocs at the University of Minnesota, and I'm working on my dissertation in conservation biology to complete a PhD, all but dissertation completed. I've finished my coursework, and I'm making attempts at writing a dissertation. So that leads me to today, and that's the work I currently do. And I serve on the President's Cabinet of Northern Star Council, the Boy Scouts of America. I was very involved in their venturing program growing up. I served as their national president when I was in college for their co-ed program of the Boy Scouts, and continue my involvement with that organization as well. And I'm really excited about the EQB, I think, because environmental issues, like Senator Rosen made very clear, are not single silo issues. They bring in how our transportation system works, our infrastructure, agriculture, our energy systems, all of our building systems. They're all really important components of making sure that we live in a healthy, safe environment, and can maintain the quality of life that Minnesotans expect and deserve. And having the commissioners from the different agencies combine with the citizen expertise and the forum to study these issues as well as make recommendations in key areas, I think is a really exciting opportunity, and I look forward to continuing to serve. I've been to one meeting so far, so I don't have quite the expertise that Mr. Saxhog does, but I'm really excited about getting started.
Thank you. For you're one who you can tell you had interest early on in life that you, your entire academic and professional career has followed up on your biological interest. Anyway, thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Knuth, again, following up in some of the agricultural theme, if you will, and having served in some of the committees that have dealt with the issue that I'm going to bring up, certainly there have been attempts in recent years to regulate dust on the farm. And quite frankly, farming is a dusty business at times. It's just sort of a fact of life. And I guess I'd like to hear your thoughts on those desires to regulate at that particular point.
To regulate at the
point, at the farm, at the farm dust level. Control at the farming level.
I have to say I'm not a real expert on the regulation of dust at the farm level, so I think there's probably more expertise in this committee than what I bring, but I'm happy to learn more about it. In terms of regulation at the farm level, I think farmers provide really important contributions to our economy and to our way of life in this state, and I've spent some time with growers doing my PhD work. I was out in apple orchards collecting bees as part of that work, interestingly enough, back and forth between the Capitol and apple orchards. And so I think I have the capacity to develop good working relationships with growers and farmers around the state. And I think there has more often than I think is useful been adversarial relationships. And I think we all bring different expertise to solving these issues. And I don't think pointing fingers and saying it's your fault, it's this group's fault, is productive when trying to make progress on these issues. So I guess that's kind of the vision and the way of working I would bring to thinking it through these issues. But in terms of the specific dust issue, I'd have to learn more about it to comment.
Further questions? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Knuth, good to see you. On that point, on Senator Weber's point, I think it would be very important, and I am going to get on my bandwagon here for just a second because I am an old retired agronomist, live in Ag Central. I mean, everything happens down in southern Minnesota, whether it's animal production, crop production, renewables, and as I mentioned to Mr. Saxhog, it is agriculture is a big big driver in the state, whether it's timber production, mining, and all of the above. It is an extremely delicate balance, though, and this board has to maintain this delicate balance with their agenda moving forward when it's dealing with agriculture or the environment, you know, back and forth. So I guess what I like to say, I would encourage and hope that you will take the opportunity to go to a feedlot and do a shower in, shower out, experience the whole thing, and understand this is big business. Go to a 5,000 corn soybean production facility. Go to some of the wind farms. I'm sure you have been to some of the wind farms down south, but some of the ethanol plants and biofuel plants, and just experience what they do to maintain the environment, how they run their business, and how important it is to maintain that integrity and let them do their business while still adhering to the environment is very important, because it is the number one driver in this state is agriculture. So just a little soapbox there. Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Knuth, part of the current mission of the EQB is developing long-range strategies to enhance Minnesota's environmental quality. What would be some of the things that you would see that would fit into this long-range strategies to enhance our environmental quality in Minnesota?
I think two parts of that. I think one is focusing on the quality of the environment here, whether that's water, habitat, different access to natural resources. Sort of what's on the ground, I think, is an important part of that. And the other part of that, and I think one that I'm really excited about with the board, is how Minnesota can lead the way in having positive economic development and proactive solutions to some of these issues. I don't see a high-quality environment and a strong economy as at all opposition. And I think increasingly we see in the 21st century that they go hand in hand. And you need to be thinking about trade-offs. You need to have a nuanced view. But I think ultimately that's what drives me, is saying we can have a strong economy, a really high-quality way of life, and a healthy environment is a really important part of that. So some of the places I see that happening in Minnesota, I think we have the growers on the ground, as well as some of the largest agricultural companies in the world here in our state, which I think positions us really well, thinking about how to contribute to feeding the world without destroying the planet that we grow it, we grow that food on. I also think Minnesota is not home to any of our more traditional energy resources in terms of coal, natural gas, uranium, and oil. We just don't have them. But we're lucky enough to have great agricultural resources, timber resources, really smart people who can figure out how to use the sun and the wind, and then some of the mineral resources to contribute to figuring out how to run our economy in a way that supports our quality of life without undermining the environment that supports it. So I think those would be things I'm really excited about working on. In terms of what's already happening at the EQB, there's some work around environmental review, as well as trying to understand impacts of frac sand mining down in the southeast part of the state. And so I think those are both really important emerging or have emerged issues, but we're still fairly early to be working on those. And so I'm excited about jumping into those more as well.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Knuth, you briefly mentioned our natural resources. What is your opinion on copper and nickel mining in Minnesota?
I think Minnesota has a strong mining tradition, and I think it's going to create a lot of tension up in, particularly in the northern part of our state, although I think with frac sand mining, we'll see more of it in the southeastern part of the state as well. I want to make sure the water is protected and our natural resources are protected should this mining go forward, and making sure that Minnesotans aren't left holding whether it's the economic, financial, or impacts on our natural resource impacts in the long term. I think we need to be really smart about moving forward with this. It is a categorically different way of mining than what the state has done previously, but it is in a pretty environmentally sensitive area. So I think being as thoughtful and proactive about making sure the impacts in 10, 15, or 50 years are not ones that we regret having as a state, I think, is how we need to move forward with considering copper-nickel mining.
Senator Benson, then Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Knuth. It's good to see you. We're talking about business, and it's a big concern. We're trying to keep our economy going. Permitting is a is something that we've been tackling on a bipartisan basis. Mm-hmm. And last session, you opposed the permitting that went through. And could you flesh that out a little bit for us? I wasn't privy to any of the hearings, but if you could help us understand why you were opposed to that bill.
I think my biggest concerns were about shortening some of the processes in terms of citizen input into environmental review. And I had some concerns about the information we had coming out of the legislative auditor and moving forward in ways that we didn't always have all the information. I do think making sure environmental review, environmental review is there for a purpose. And I come from a district that has huge impacts of industry, our community that has huge impacts of industry that we didn't plan for and my constituents have dealt with for decades. There was the Twin Cities Army Ammunition Plant in my district. I grew up drinking water that has a giant TCE plume in it. And the U.S. Army pays for treating that water now and will until it's clean. And I have constituents who ask, I have people in my community who ask me whether I think the cancer that they see around them is related to that, or that they are frustrated that they can't swim in one of the lakes in the community. And so if we don't do industry right, it does have real impacts. And that's what the environmental review process is meant to do. Because, these businesses don't want to negatively impact the health of their community members. They live in these communities, and we don't want that economic development to be having these long-term impacts. And so I do think there is an important role for environmental review, but we need to get it right. We don't want to be keeping businesses out of Minnesota because they see it too as a place that's too difficult to do this kind of thing, where we don't have partners in state government who are willing to help them figure out the process. And so I think moving forward, that's the way I approach it. But I mean, from the community I'm in, I do have some caution, and because I have seen some of the impacts we can have if we don't do it right.
And Mr. Chair, a follow-up. Community input is important. Right now there's a battle going on between counties doing wind permitting and the state doing wind permitting. And you've got broad experience in this area as a legislator and as a public advocate. Could you speak to whether you think counties should stay in control or if that's something that should move to the state?
In terms of having a strong position, whether it should go either way, I'm not comfortable saying exactly what you learn when you sit in office. Saying a strong position when you don't have all the facts is not a useful thing to do. And that's part of the reason we have committees like this and committees like the Environmental Quality Board, so we can have our decision makers go through a rigorous process when thinking through these really important issues. Because with something like wind power, there are impacts on neighbors and there are concerns for community members in terms of whether it's health concerns with some people or just the impact on the landscape and those sorts of things. I think there needs to be, if it were to move to the state, I think there does need to be a very clear way for citizens to give their input to that process. And I would think that would be an important principle to maintain if that decision is made. But in terms of a hard position on the issue, I don't have one.
Thank you.
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, and at the appropriate time, I'd like to move the nomination of Kate Knuth for the Minnesota Environmental Equality Board to wherever it's going next.
It goes to the floor.
To the floor.
Senator Brown, on that motion.
Well, I still have a question.
Yes, go ahead. You can question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Knuth, as a member of the Environmental Quality Board, would you be involved with the Governor's Environmental Congress? And if so, what do you see your vision for the Environmental Congress?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Brown. I think the Environmental Congress is what has happened so far with the listening session shows that there's a lot of interest in these issues, and people in Minnesota care deeply about the place they call home, the environment in which we live. There's hundreds of people across the state who came out on, a weekend evening or weeknight or morning to discuss these issues with each other and surface some of the biggest concerns and opportunities they see around the environment. And I think that's what the Environmental Congress is meant to do. It is a forum for Minnesotans to wrestle through what are some pretty thorny issues moving forward and to learn from each other and also surface some of the biggest things that they're concerned about to policymakers, whether it's members of the EQB, commissioners who are members of the EQB, the governor, as well as I hope members of the legislature will be part of that as well. So as a member of the EQB, I will definitely be there. I think my role will be to listen to who's there, try to reach out and make sure interested and affected people are brought to the Congress and have that conversation. And then proactively try to bring some of the issues that were surfaced out of that forward and make some progress on them.
To further discussion. If not, Senator Sieben moves that Kate Knuth, the appointment of Kate Knuth to the EQB be recommended to the Senate for confirmation. On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion.
No.
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 Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Congratulations to both of you, and thank you for your service. We're going to deal with the PCA Citizens Board member confirmations next. Catherine Drager and Carolyn Sampson, welcome to the table. Welcome, and if you want to just begin, brief introduction and statement if you want to make one. And
Chairman, committee members, my name is Kathy Drager, and I'm here before you to be confirmed as the agricultural representative on the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Board, and I'll be asking for your vote. A little bit of my background. I was born and raised in Minnesota. I've graduated from the University of Minnesota. My master's degree is in soil science. My doctorate is in water resource sciences. I am here representing myself today, but my job is I'm an adjunct professor of agronomy and plant genetics at the University of Minnesota, as well as the statewide director of a university program called the Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships. In my position, we work a great deal with a community food system, sustainable food systems, organic food production, crop production. And my program is through the University of Minnesota Extension. In addition to my role at the university, I am part of our family farm operation. We live and farm in Big Stone County, Minnesota. My children are the fourth generation on that farm. We have both conventional corn, soybeans, as well as part of our farm is certified organic production, We produce energy. We have a wind turbine there that we are generate more power than we produce. And if you're familiar with the prairie, you'll know that's an ideal spot for generating wind. We have beef cattle, and we also have a small poultry operation as well. So we have a diversified family farm. I have three children in elementary school and one in seventh grade in the Clinton Gracefield Beardsley School District. And we're active members of our community. We strive to really be supportive of our community. My husband is elected to the Soil Water Conservation District and has a leadership role in that group as well. My background in public service, I was appointed by Governor Carlson and served on his roundtable for sustainable development. And when my husband and I lived in Iowa, Governor Branstad appointed me to an Environmental Protection Commission role there, where we promulgated the first animal confinement feeding operation rules at that time in the country. For the university, one project I have that would probably be of interest to this group is I was the university's project manager for the generic environmental impact statement on animal agriculture. In that role, I worked with over 100 faculty members, and we produced the literature review looking at 12 different aspects of animal agriculture, ranging from air quality issues, as were brought up earlier, to some of the community and social impacts of animal agriculture. That group of faculty, that over 100, ranged from people who were firmly working in the largest scale animal operations that we have, and others who were working on the public health side and were rather strident about the impacts of animal agriculture on health. And we managed to balance that out, I think, to present to the EQB, in fact, a very balanced resource in animal feeding operations. So both from a personal, hands-on, part of a family farm operation, as well as my work and my studies, I think I can represent agriculture in a balanced approach for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Board.
Thank you. I notice that you're in your school district, you've been working on planting fruit trees at the homes of every K-6 student.
Yes, that was Chairman, committee members, that was a project I'm working on with the Big Stone County Food Shelf. Where we live, it is a rural food desert, and we talked about how we can get more fresh fruit and vegetables to the children. And the food shelf is actually, it's 40 miles one way to the food shelf from the people in the northern part of our county. And we are a high free school lunch area. And so we have for the last 3 years, and will be again this year, planting a fruit tree at the home of every child. So 180 trees a year. We planted apples the first year, cherries the second, plums the third, and this year we'll be planting a variety of peaches, which is unusual, but we're going to push the envelope a little.
I'm impressed. Questions from members of the committee? Senator Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just sort of delving into your agricultural background, you talked about hands-on. Looking at the resume, it looks like you really, in the last 5 years, is basically where you've gotten a lot of the hands-on. Did you have any prior experience? You said you were born and raised in Minnesota. Where was that? And did you have previous, in your formative years, with the agriculture?
Chairman, committee members, I graduated from Silver Bay, Minnesota, so I was there after the reserve mining, so we didn't have a lot of agriculture when I was growing up. However, my grandparents farmed in Dodge County, and we spent a fair amount of time there. My relatives continue to farm in Dodge County. So I went into soil science right out of my undergraduate degree, and my husband jokes that I'm very romantic about farming. So I've always admired and hoped to farm, and married a man who was born and raised a dairy farmer. So apart from marrying into farming, that was, and then having that in my background. But so, yes, my hands-on experience has been mostly the last 5 years, although my husband and I lived on a farm in Iowa and got married on a farm. So I think that I, have some credentials, but mostly my hands-on has just been the last 5 years that I've learned how to drive a tractor and weed a garden, in seriousness. So,
okay, Mr. Chair, just to sort of follow on that, you know, getting into this only about 5 years ago, are there some challenges that you didn't really expect, or are there some insights that, you know, you hadn't had any, virtually any agriculture background until 5 years ago? What are the challenges that you've experienced within this short period of time?
Chairman, committee members, I'll give you an example. My master's degree was on edible dry beans. I worked with farmers throughout the Andes mountain region on producing edible dry beans. So when we bought a farm, the first thing we did was planted edible dry beans, and we promptly lost the crop because it's a lot easier to do research plots than to grow organic edible beans in heavy clay soils in Minnesota. So that was a good dose of reality. We continue to research and investigate how to grow edible beans, and would like to continue to do that as part of our own farming operation. My husband was in a farm accident last April. It was a very serious accident. We nearly lost him. So the impact of being trying to manage a farm, I actually had to take my little kids out of school to help me do farm chores. So those kind of realities of running a farm are very, provide a stark reality. My husband has since recovered completely, so we're very pleased. So is that what you were looking for?
No, that was it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Glad your husband he's fully recovered, you said?
He's fully recovered, yes.
Senator Benson, then Senator Brown, and Senator Rosen. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Drager, having grew up on a farm in Swift County, there is nothing romantic about farming. It's just straight up hard work. And unfortunately, you found that through your husband's being unable to do the work. But I commend you for the strength to keep the farm going. I did have a question. You said some of your land is inorganic and the other is in traditional. Are you moving that to organic, or are you doing experiments, organic farming in the clay soils? That Swift County has soil very similar to Big Stone County, and you got to be pretty tough to. We do corn and soybeans, a little bit of beets, and so I'm interested. Are you doing comparison for purposes of commercializing organic, or is this a hobby? What is your goal?
Chairman, committee members, our goal is to create a really healthy, viable farm that our children can take over and at least one of them become a full-time farmer. We have 320 acres, which in today's farming reality is not enough. I'm sorry, but we probably couldn't make it on conventional corn and soybeans to afford the equipment and to be able to farm. So we need to diversify our farm. We need to have specialty markets. And so we're looking at those 40 acres as providing a specialty market. We have right now it's hay, and hay is actually very profitable in the current market. And we do have organic dairies near us, so we do have outlets. We're also, doing intensive rotational grazing, which we joke, that's adding more labor on top of labor in terms of farming, and, we question our own judgments at time. But we do believe that, number one, we need to have a niche market or we just won't be economically viable. And frankly, we can get a good premium for organic grass-fed beef. So we're being economically savvy, as well as I've done some work in my job. We were funded by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation to look at the impact of children exposed to pesticides. And I really would like to create a nice haven. My children are small. My one son has a chronic health issue. And so I would love to have a farm that has a big buffer where our family's not exposed to pesticides. And so we have multiple reasons for doing it, both economic, personal, what we believe to be the healthiest for our family.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Professor Drager, I happen to believe that economic development can happen while still protecting our environment, and I believe this extends to mining, and I am hopeful that projects like PolyMet will receive their approvals that they need to move forward. Can you talk about your position on non-ferrous mining, and specifically, please share with the committee how you would approach a mining project that jumps through all the hoops and is designed to meet all the applicable environmental requirements?
Chairman, committee members, I know that we have to strike a balance between protecting our environment and the economic development. Having graduated from Silver Bay, I understand firsthand how a community's thoughts and needs maybe are, at least in the case of Silver Bay, the community was very supportive of reserve mining, whereas some of the pressure, you know, against that operation was from outside the community. Although there were always people within the community who were looking for stricter environmental regulations as well. It is a difficult situation. We sometimes need to work within the parameters, and if a company is meeting the regulations and they are abiding by the law of the land, my understanding is that we are asked to look at the law of the land, so that if they are complying and we believe that our laws are protective, then I believe that those projects need to be heard fairly and decided upon the basis. And if there are issues with the policy or the regulation, that there's another mechanism that people can work through to have changes to those regulations and those policies.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Egger, for coming today. Several things I have to ask you about. Number one, what is a regional sustainable ag product group? If you could answer that, please.
Chairman, legislators, the Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships is a program of the University of Minnesota. It was founded by a group of very active citizens and very idealistic faculty members who wanted to make sure that communities around the state had access to the resources of the University of Minnesota. When we were first formed, in fact, by the legislature in 1997 and then re-upped and doubled in 1999, there was a real emphasis to make sure that University of Minnesota was attending to the needs of those small and medium-sized farmers, because there was a lot of research and development for the larger scale, and this was an intentional effort to make sure we are also paying attention to sustainable tourism, to natural resources, as well as agriculture. So it is a program that today we have five regional boards around the state. They're made up of community members and faculty members. They bring in projects that address sustainable development, and we work to build community university partnerships. We have a portfolio of over 500 projects around the state, ranging from helping develop organic spring red wheat varieties that will thrive under an organic system to helping establish a farm-to-school program within University of Minnesota Extension, in addition to another, 498 projects. But so we are really to make sure that the University of Minnesota reaches every corner of the state, and it's responding to the needs of its citizenry.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as you heard me say earlier, I'm an old agronomist. Have the family business is agriculture. I worked in the field for years doing grower complaints. And so I know very, very well about sustainable agriculture and agriculture that we need to feed the world. The University of Minnesota obviously is our land-grant university that was started off in agriculture, and it's all very good to have a push towards sustainable and organic, but we also still need to have that balance to make sure that these family businesses and agriculture stay strong out there in greater Minnesota, because no matter how you slice the pie right now, and you will find that up here, and I know all my colleagues around the table feel this, that at times it's very much a metro-rural split, and especially with agricultural issues. So this is very, very serious. And if you are going to be our agricultural representative for this board, I am going to again extend the invitation for you to come out to a 1,200 sow unit. Come out to some big-time animal or crop production units and see what other kind of agriculture is out there, not just sustainable, because we have a responsibility in this state. And I have some and the reason I'm somewhat passionate about this is because the Citizens Board, and not them directly, but the MCEA, which is a very, very powerful group in this state, made my life hell and every person in Martin County's life hell that had to deal with putting up the first 100 million gallon ethanol plant. And the pressure that was put onto that board, or recommendations from the staff to that board, was tremendous. And it was because the citizens group was extremely brutal, threatening lawsuits, saying, you know, you need to push it. So Iowa put up 200 million gallon ethanol plants in the time that it took one of our 100 million ethanol plants to get permitted, not even put up. They put two up, from ground up, and we couldn't even get one permitted. So that's the kind of competition that we face out there. And I'm hoping that you will take the opportunity to travel around and make sure that you are the representation for all agriculture. That's my hope.
Senator Weber, then Senator Coonan, and Senator Brown.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Drager, just a couple of personal notes. I lost my brother to a farm accident a couple years ago, and he had suffered a serious heart attack 4 years prior to that, so I understand the difficulties of maintaining a farming operation when that happens. So I commend you, and I'm glad that your husband has recovered. You made a couple of comments during in different things that you said, and first let me state that I believe that organic and sustainable all have a role in the overall future of agriculture. But you admitted that 320-acre farm by itself is pretty difficult to sustain a family nowadays, and without some other type of income coming in, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. In that respect, then, when I look at the fact that you are to be the agricultural representative on this board, coming from southwest Minnesota, I represent all our parts of nine counties, and farming is the business in our area. I would say that there would be a number of my constituents in the farming business that would look at your credentials for production agriculture and not necessarily feel that they were represented on this board by them. And I have great respect for your scholastic achievements and your work in education and have no problem with that whatsoever. But I do tend to share those concerns my constituents would have, and what can you say to me that I can repeat to them that would alleviate those concerns?
Chairman, committee members, I think that my neighbors are conventional farmers. We're one of a few people who farm our way in Big Stone County. And I'm actually quite familiar with large confinement feeding operations. Before we farmed, my husband, we worked with a company that actually helped to deal with manure waste from both hog and chicken manure. So we were working in Nebraska and Iowa with some of the largest, and we would go, and I have toured multi-million chicken laying facilities. And so I think that in terms of, I am very realistic about what agriculture is today. I think that I have a good understanding. I serve on the church council with, you know, our conventional farmers and our smaller farmers, and we actually have those debates over, you know, the church council meeting about what farming can look like and should look like. I think we need a diversity of farming. I think that our modern system has brought tremendous prosperity and all sorts of luxuries and good things into our life, and I'm not looking for any throwback to a bygone era. But I do think we need some diversity in skills, diversity in ways we do things, because you never know when you'll need to call upon, you know, someone who has a different level of expertise for whatever reason. And it seems like the pendulum on these things, it swings. We've had large farms and we've had smaller farms, and so I think part of my role is just to, you know, just try to view the whole spectrum of agriculture, and I think that I can rule fairly, and I don't demonize any farmers. I admire and respect, you know, farmers as you would any other group of individuals. So I think that I can approach this with a very balanced approach.
Senator Dibble, on that point, otherwise we have about three others.
Well, I'll just make a quick point, Mr. Chair. Maybe it would be helpful for us to have an understanding of who else serves on the PCA board. I'm guessing we have lots of folks who have lots of good experience and exposure and knowledge of
we will
the
get
kind of
list.
Ag practices yeah. that the senators are, you know. So having someone with some diversity of view and perspective and experience sounds like we're adding something to the board that may be beneficial.
Yes. Senator Coonan, then Brown, then Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to make a motion to move the confirmation if this is the appropriate time.
We'll make the motion now and then we'll continue discussion. So.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move the committee recommend to the Senate the confirmation of Catherine Drager to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Citizens Board.
Chair Coonan, you did a better job of stating the motion than I have in trying to restate it in the past. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Professor Drager, in my last question when I asked about environmental requirements, you used the phrase, if you believe the laws are reasonable. Do you believe our current laws and requirements for the environment are reasonable, or do you think there needs to be change there?
I won't claim to know all the laws of the land, and so I would depend on you know, each case to have those brought before me. It seems like Minnesota is a conscientious state when it comes to trying to balance these issues. I have never seen any examples where I thought there was a loophole so wide that it would cause any concern or any harm or damage to either communities or the environment. So from what I have seen and from what I would know, it appears to me that Minnesota has done a sound and a thorough job of creating policies and frameworks that are both transparent and protective.
Thank you. Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Egger, this is grueling. I know this is hard to do it, but this is very serious. And Senator Dipple, she did mention that she is the ag representation for the board. So that's why we want to make sure that we extend an offer to Mr. Egger to come out to my district to view some of these very, very important issues and understand the industry that's out there. Because, and if I could just indulge in just a brief story, and if, 10 years ago or 11 years ago, when I was first elected, after that first year, I threw up my hands and I said, this is such a metro-rural split on some of these issues. So I invited the freshman senators to come down to my district, and we had a little field trip. And we had a little forum with the city administrator and the school superintendent. And then we did a tour of Kevin Hugeson, Commissioner Hugeson's brother's hog setup. And it was excellent tour because they did not understand the industry. They got hands-on experience of what's going on. The only thing I didn't know, it was a shower in, shower out. And so we were showering with Lori Sturdivant. It was pretty funny. So anyway, and I was so glad I wore my good underwear that day. But anyway. The point I'm trying to make is that there are a lot of issues with agriculture, and I hope you will take this opportunity to accept this invitation by anybody who has agriculture of some kind in their district. And the one thing that we can do for our children to keep them on the family farms is work on the inheritance tax. And that's something that we need to get past right now. So, you know, that's why I'm very, very passionate about, because this is a big stretch for some of us to connect sustainable agriculture with the big-time production of agriculture and say, we're going to be okay, we're going to be represented well. So I am asking you to come out to my district and take me up on that offer.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, to that point, I'd like to invite Ms. Drager out to Senator Coonan's district where my family farms. We do not have any shower-in, shower-out facilities, but we do harvest hay and haylage and silage and all kinds of sustainable things, and we're a little closer. I think so.
Thank you. Senator Dibble.
I think Senator Rosen has a lot of field trips to her district, because I didn't go on that trip. I went on a different
that's
trip.
Right.
I didn't take a shower with Lori Sturdivant.
The entire Senate's going to be going on a lot of field trips.
Yeah.
further discussion? Senator Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I missed this question. You just got into your current farm situation five years ago, and at my age, I couldn't believe I'd be changing industries and going into that. What led you into this 5 years ago? What brought you to going into a family farm operation?
Chairman, committee members, my husband and I had long talked about wanting to farm. He was raised on this farm. He was a dairy farmer, although he doesn't want a dairy farm now. He's a very soft-spoken man, but when I bring up dairy farming, he slams his hand on the table and says, "We won't be dairy farming on this farm. Maybe the kids will," he said. But we talk about rural development. We talk about sustainable agriculture. We'd always wanted to. That was one of our dreams. And so we decided to put our family on the front line. And we decided to. We lived in St. Paul in Highland Park. We had a comfortable life. I had a short commute to my office on the St. Paul campus. But my husband quit his job. My sons were three. I have twin three-year-olds, and our daughter was in second grade. And we moved out in part just because it was now or never. Because, we were in our early 40s, and we couldn't wait forever to farm, or we just wouldn't be able to. And so it took us about a year to finally land on the family farm, because his parents weren't quite ready to retire, but when they saw we were serious, they wanted to see that next generation and their grandchildren farming that land. So then we bought the family farm, and we don't regret it, and it was a good decision for our family.
Mr. Chair, thanks. I'm very, very curious about that. I guess the other question I had regarding this is, it looks to me like you're still, professionally still engaged. So is it fair to make the statement that you also have, this is not, your farm is not a single source of financial support for your entire family, that actually there's subsidiary and probably fairly high subsidiaries of coming in with different types of financial support for your family?
Chairman, committee members, yes. I work for the University of Minnesota full-time. I have a telecommuting agreement with University of Minnesota Extension. I have an office on the St. Paul campus in the agronomy department. I'm there every week, or try to do every other week, but I also have staff at UMD, at Crookston, Morris, Rochester, and the Brainerd Extension Regional Office. So I travel quite a bit around the state, and actually the commuting is the same to those offices, or less from Big Stone County than from St. Paul. So yes, and we're making huge investments in our farm. And so, putting up a wind turbine, putting up 3.5 miles of fence, it is safe to say that I can't quit my job, and that the farm at this point won't, but it's because we're really investing in building up. But our long-term goal was that we can support our family completely on the farm.
Thank you. Senator Coonan moves that the appointment of Catherine Drager be to the Pollution Control Agency Board be confirmed. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you very much. We do have, Ms. Sampson, I wonder if you will be around for a few minutes. We have two of the members of the Clean Water Council who have to leave in about 5 minutes, and wonder if we could take those up first quickly. If you will be around for a few more minutes.
Sure.
Appreciate it. I was told that Lewis Smith and Sandy Rummel are both here. I see them both, and I know they had to leave fairly soon. So if you're welcome to the committee. And we will get back to Ms. Sampson immediately after these two. Welcome to the committee,
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Louie.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Lewis Smith, and I am the Citizen Lake and Stream Organization representative on the Clean Water Council. I have had the privilege of being appointed first by Governor Pawlenty and then again by Governor Dayton to serve that role. I was a member of the Clean Water Legacy Coalition, the G16 group, which promoted the Clean Water Legacy Act, and have been deeply involved in this work for a number of years. My primary interest as a citizen has been to work with lake associations and other citizens who are involved in protecting streams to promote a citizen ethic of stewardship and engagement of our lakeshore property owners and others who care about our lakes and streams to be involved in the process of improving and protecting our waters. It's been a great pleasure to serve on the Clean Water Council. We have worked hard to promote a vision of clean water that is programmatic. We have steadfastly avoided engaging in selecting individualized projects, but recommended to the legislature a broad programmatic approach to invest in the resources to assess our waters, determine the ones that need to be cleaned up, develop plans for them. I would say the greatest challenge we have in the future is assuring that there are resources available to make sure these plans are implemented. And what makes that challenging is that many of our pollution problems with our lakes and streams are non-point source problems, which means there's no one single bad actor to point at, that we all have a role all across our landscape in Minnesota to improve our stewardship of these water resources. So it'll be very important to continue to engage citizens in this cause. And I think with your help and support, the Clean Water Council can continue on that mission. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. And Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Good afternoon. My name is Sandy Rummel, and I represent the Met Council on the Clean Water Council. My specific qualifications for that, I currently am the chair of the Environment Committee at the Metropolitan Council, and so Chair Haig asked me to be the representative at the Clean Water Council. The Environmental Services at Met Council provides wastewater services that protect the public health and environment while supporting regional growth. The Met, Environmental Committee is also very interested in energy savings and initiatives. Not only do they contribute to the mission of the Environmental Services at Met Council, but they help keep our water rates very competitive. In the past, I think it was 2 years ago, XL Energy gave the Met Council an I think it was a gold award. I can't remember. Was this the gold or the platinum award for energy savings? And that amounts to $2.5 million a year reduction in costs, keeping our ratepayers down among the five lowest in their competitive cities. My background in water issues dates back to my time in the Senate. I was the chair on the subcommittee for Clean Water Legacy Funding, the first time we did that. And during that time, I spent a great deal of time meeting with stakeholders from all over the state and all the different groups that are represented on the Clean Water Council, and immersed myself in the issues of water that are facing our state. I'm very committed to, I'm privileged to be able to continue the work I began in the Senate on this Clean Water Council, and I look forward to your considering my confirmation to this committee or council.
Are there any questions for either of the nominees? Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, just curious about how you're going to take the
I would
motion.
Suggest we'll take a motion for these two now, and we'll deal with the rest. Most of the others are not able to be here, but I figure we could at least do these two now. So if you want to make the motion.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Smith is my constituent, and we have a longstanding relationship, worked on many civic issues together, so I can speak to his qualifications. And, of course, we all know Senator Rummel and her fine service when she was with us and now on the Met Council. So I'll make the appropriate motion, whatever it is.
Senator Dibble moves the two confirmations. Are there any questions or concerns for the committee? If not, Senator Dibble has moved that Sandy Rummel and Lewis Smith be recommended for confirmation to the appointment to the Clean Water Council. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You both. Glad we got it able before you had to leave. Thanks for coming. If we could return back to Carolyn Sampson for the MPCA board. Welcome back to the committee, and thanks for taking it. we could get those other stuff.
Sure, no problem. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Carolyn Sampson, and I'm here asking for your recommendation for confirmation to the Citizens Board of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Like the others, I'll tell you a little bit about myself and be happy to answer your questions following that. Thank you. I currently live in Minneapolis near Lakes Calhoun and Cedar Lakes, which I enjoy on a daily basis. Although much to my chagrin, I am not a Minnesota native. I have lived in Minnesota the vast majority of my life, and all of the rest of my family are Minnesota natives. My family roots are in two parts of the state, which I think give me kind of a unique perspective on the state, although I've lived in the Twin Cities area most of my life. Part of my family is from the Ely area, and I have roots in the mining and logging industry up there, as well as the recreational industry. And the other half of my family is from central Minnesota, where, as you know, agriculture is king. So I grew up visiting grandparents in both of those areas of the state and really enjoying a lot of our state that is just so wonderful. And I would add to that, people asked about roots. I went on my first canoe trip when I was two, so I've been enjoying our natural areas for many, many years. And then the rest of the time as a child grew up playing on the banks of the Mississippi River in the northern part of the Twin Cities here. So, as far as my education goes, I'm a four-time graduate of the University of Minnesota. I have undergraduates in English and soil science. Soil science, as you know, is an agricultural degree, so I do have some experience and some knowledge of that workings. And then I have a master's and PhD in environmental engineering. My focus there is on aquatic chemistry, primarily of natural systems, although I do have some workings of treatment systems as well. I am currently self-employed as a consultant in environmental health and safety, focusing on water quality, laboratory safety, hazardous materials, and sustainability. Prior to that, last fall I just finished up a 20-plus year career at General Mills, as you know, one of our flagship companies here in Minnesota. For 15 of those 20 years, I was basically an analytical chemist in the research and development facilities, working on new food products and working on food labeling. And then for the last 5 years of my employment there, I was the environmental manager of General Mills' three research and development facilities, one in Golden Valley, the other in Minneapolis, and the third in Le Sueur. And as environmental manager, I had responsibility for managing all of the permits for those facilities. I also was a consultant to the larger corporation on water quality and sustainability and served on a committee that looked at sustainability in the agricultural supply chain. So earlier testimony has talked about sustainability and a perceived tension between sustainability and business, and I would say from General Mills' perspective, sustainability in the agricultural world is a necessity for successful business going forward. So it might be a little bit different perspective than you might have heard. Which I think is very exciting. They're viewing that as an opportunity for growth rather than something that would cause them to contract. Let's see, what else? I've continued my education in some leadership roles. I last year completed the Shannon Leadership Institute at the Wilder Institute, which is at the Wilder Foundation, which is a really great program enabling leaders to think about their values and how they apply to their daily work. I think public service is really important, and you know, this might sound a little bit corny, but I did want to sincerely thank you for your public service. I think it's really critical that we have this, and that's one of the great things about our state and about our country. My public service has been in not so much in the government area until recently on the Citizens Board. I've done a lot of volunteer work primarily in middle schools, going out and talking to girls about education and careers in science and technology and math, which I think is really fun to do and try to get them excited about that. I served on the board of directors of the Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness from 2002 to 2009, and my personal interest at that point was also educating and developing leaders for the future, reconnecting our youth to the wild areas that, at least for my generation, we played outside in the mud, and trying to encourage the current generations to do the same and to experience the world firsthand. I also served on the synthesis team of the Minnesota Water Sustainability Framework, which was a tremendous experience, bringing together a wide variety of people looking at water resources in the state and how we can be sustainable as a society and be very successful as a state moving forward. I also served on a governance project for Hennepin County, also having to do with how can governance with respect to water resources be improved for Hennepin County. I think that's about all I'd like to say. I'm really excited by what I've learned so far in the 6 months I've served on the Citizens Board. I think it's a fascinating process. I think it's a great way to bring the public into the permitting process. These high-profile projects and permits. Enabling the citizens to have input and to have discussion openly, I think, is very helpful and makes just strengthens our ability to permit activities that need some permitting and some guidance with respect to environmental regulations. Thank you,
Ms. Sampson. I know when you mentioned your work in schools trying to encourage women to participate in science and natural resources, I like the title of the paper you wrote in 92, Jeopardy, Category, U.S. Women and Water Resources.
Yeah, thank you.
A creative title for your good work. Are there questions from members of the committee? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Sampson, can you talk about your position on non-ferrous mining and what your approach would be on permitting these mines?
Sure. I think that, and that is an interesting question, and I think it's a big discussion for our state going forward. We're looking at a wealth of natural resources that, when mined, could have the potential to cause significant environmental impacts. My grandfather was an iron miner and worked in the iron mines, so I know what that's about. I know what iron mining is like. I have friends and family who work in the mining industry. I know what that's all about. I think that Dr. Drager earlier talked about you questioned her on whether she felt that the regulations in place were sufficient to protect the environment. I think my answer would be similar to hers, that to my knowledge they are, but I don't think that that's necessarily the question before us. And maybe this is a little longer answer than you wanted, but I think the Pollution Control Agency's role is to follow the law and to issue permits in a timely fashion and to do good permitting, right, to ensure that we're not compromising the health of the environment and people in our state. I think the question about sulfide mining, non-ferrous mining for the state is going to be larger than whether or not it is legal. I think it's a values question that the state will have to ask and that the public will need to ask and answer how we want to deal with this. So I think it's a little bit different, and it's probably outside of the role of the Citizens Board per se.
Further questions from the committee, Senator Weber, then Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Certainly, Ms. Sampson, you've in your role with General Mills, you were working to try and keep your company in compliance with environmental regulation, what have you, obviously. In the last couple of years, there has been a fairly broad bipartisan effort to streamline rules, et cetera. And do you feel that is a an avenue that we can continue to go down in this respective area, and that there are maybe greater efficiencies and greater streamlining possibilities that exist?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman and committee members. I think that's a great question. And I think that's actually a perspective I can also bring to the table on the Citizens Board, is having personally been responsible for managing those permits and working with the company to make sure that we were in compliance, might be a unique position for some of the members on the board. I do think there are opportunities for efficiencies, and I think some of them have actually come into play in terms of some of the online reporting that is available now. I know when I first started, you know, I would get a paper copy and you filled it out by hand and signed it by hand and sent it back certified mail. And, you know, this is in the day of email. So it's I think the agencies I've worked with have really moved forward to streamline, just using simple tools like that, and also in some of the rulemaking. And I think that they've been, personnel that I've talked to when I was on that side of the table were very open to conversations when some of the new rules came down the pike that were very confusing and helped very much sort out the tangled knot so that the permitting process could move forward in a timely fashion. And I think that it is continuing to move along those ways.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Ms. Sampson. On that note, I think that's a very important part of this discussion is the relationship between the business community, as you've got the experience, and compliance and moving forward with our permitting. When you talk to somebody that's in business that has to go through some kind of permitting process, regulatory process, they just about want to go nuts in this state. And certainly understanding the respect that we have to have for the environment, but we seem to really draw it out for folks in this state, whereas I live very close to the Iowa border. There's many of us that know the competition of the surrounding states, the competition on a regional basis. And they tend to take a much more business-friendly type of attitude towards this regulations and streamlining the permitting process. That's what I'm trying to say. So do you see the ability of your experience to go into this board and say and be the voice for both sides and say we need to make sure that we keep a balance in all of this, because sometimes we are setting ourselves out as an island, and I can say that just because Iowa has a department now that'll go in when it's time to get some regulations or a permit, and they will help you go through this permitting process. They will hold your hand. They will say, have you met this date? Have you done this? And I think it's very important to, again, hold your principles strong, but say you're not the criminal because you want to get a permit. We want to help you do it and do it right and not be penalized for this. Do you see yourself as that, being able to do that with your experience with General Mills and so forth?
Thank you, Chairman and committee members, for the question. Yes, I think I can help provide some of that perspective. I would also add that my experience, both on the board and prior to this when I was a permitted, responsible for the permits, I would say that my experience was that the PCA agency staff did actually serve in that role and assisted quite a bit. I never had a hard time getting a hold of someone to answer a question, to move things ahead. So I do think that I can provide some perspective and help the staff understand a little bit more what it's like from the inside in a very candid way. And I think I can also advocate on the other side of the coin, because I think sometimes we need to be careful that when I don't know how to put this in a very diplomatic way, but I think sometimes we complain about things when we ought not. And sometimes, going through the hoops, it really isn't as hard as some people say. And maybe there are some specific things that you're thinking of, and I don't mean to disparage your remarks, but at least it's been my experience that the steps that needed to be taken seemed reasonable, at least to me at the time. And I worked 60-hour weeks, so I mean I was not and had no one reporting to me, so I was the only person doing this. So it is not easy, but I would say also that the staff is there to help as much as they can.
Mr. Chair.
Sarah Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, on that note, that doesn't give me great comfort, Sampson, because I actually think you should be probably looking at it with a larger lens, because there are, I can give you many, many examples, and we can sit down and go through many of these examples of where folks have taken off for Iowa or Wisconsin or South Dakota because, or North Dakota, because the permitting process was so onerous. That's why we will never have another ethanol expansion in the state, because of some of the issues that have happened with dealing with the MCEA, the PCA, and the Citizens Board. They will not go through this again. They will not make an investment. I can go down the list over and over and over again. So perhaps you had a very good experience, but there's many other businesses, lost opportunities out there, and that because of their bad experience. And we have been talking at this Capitol for years, and that's why the governor came out with streamlining of regulations, because it has been ridiculous in many fronts. And I think agriculture has been one of the sore spots for all of this. So I hope that you will take another look at that.
Senator, go ahead, Ms. Simpson.
If I may respond to that, I am happy to learn more about that. So I don't want to say that my experience is the sum total of my opinion at this point. But to my knowledge and my experience thus far has been very positive, and I'm interested in learning more.
Senator Brown, then Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Sampson, you've mentioned that you believe in a timely response in terms of the permitting process. PolyMet started their process over 8 years ago, and they still don't have a response. How would you define timely in terms of the permitting process?
Chairman, members of the committee, I guess I can't speak to details on the PolyMet project because I'm not versed in those well enough to comment specifically on that project. I do know that what's timely depends really on the scope of the project. So I know that in other states, permitting mining is very lengthy and time-consuming, particularly when there is this interaction between state and federal governments, wilderness areas nearby, things like that. So I don't know if that is typical for this sort of project or not. I would have to look into that further.
And the DNR is the lead state agency, not PCA, in terms of the PolyMet issue. Senator Hoffman and Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I make a motion that we to confirm Dr. Carolyn Sampson to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Citizens Board.
Senator Dibble on that.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I'll second the motion, even though we don't do motion seconding. Ms. Sampson is my constituent. I don't know her well, but I'm impressed with her resume and her testimony today. I think she strikes a good balance and has a great professional background and will bring, a great measure of discussion to the proceedings and deliberations at the MPCA Citizens Board.
On the motions or further discussion, Senator Weber.
Just one item, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Sampson. Regarding the response to Senator Rosen's question earlier, I just want to go on record as making a statement that your experience is entirely different than what many local units of government, many small businesses have encountered. And I guess, and this certainly has nothing to do with you per se, but I certainly hope that the powers that be within the department don't view large customers or clients that have major resources to put into this in a different light than they view the smaller ones. And because I don't know why our smaller business, why our local units of government should have to encounter the frustrations that they do. And I just wish you to be aware of that.
Thank you. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just need to respond. I think there's broad agreement that permitting processes that are onerous or bogged down because of bureaucratic process that waste time and money are not desirable. And that's a fair discussion to have so long as it's not a pretext for a different kind of conversation. Or a stalking horse for a different kind of conversation, which is lowering our environmental standards and thresholds. Many disavow that that's actually what's at stake in some of these, but then sometimes when we uncover the true intent and some of the goals of some of the bills that we've seen around the legislature in the last few years, it is about undermining our environmental protections. And we need to have that conversation freely and openly if that's what we're actually talking about. I think we're all a partner. I think Ms. Sampson is a partner. She has the experience of, you know, of managing permitting processes for a corporation, of making it better. I come out of the corporate sector myself, and I know how much better we can do just with utilizing technology better that we don't do at the state level. But let's keep an eye on our environment while we're doing it.
It's appropriate. On the motion that Carolyn Sampson be recommended to the full Senate for her appointment to the Pollution Control Agency Citizens Board be confirmed. On that motion, any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Ms. Sampson, and thank you for your willingness to serve on the board. We're going to deal with, we have several more members of the Clean Water Council here. Michael McKay, who I believe is going to be presenting for some of the other members as well. I believe we also have Warren Formo and Todd Renville here as well. Is there anybody else in the room? Okay. Thank you. And Mr. McKay, I understand you're going to be sort of making a brief presentation for the others who couldn't be here. At least I don't expect you to fill in that way, but just to explain something about it.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Real briefly, I'm Mike McKay, and I chair the Clean Water Council. A quick statement is the Clean Water Council was established in 2006 to provide advice and administration and implementation on the Clean Water Legacy Act, foster cooperation and coordination between public and private entities. The Council recommends funding and appropriation priorities to the legislators and the governor to restore and protect Minnesota waters. Its diverse membership represents interest in organizations with a major role in achieving clean water, enabling a consensus building and coordination of a wide array of issues critical to the people of Minnesota. The Clean Water Council consists of 28 members, 19 of which are voting members and appointed by the governor, and 9 are non-voting members. So 11 members of the Clean Water Council have been appointed by the governor, are before you today for confirmation. I represent an environmental organizational seat. I also am the executive director of a group called Lake Pepin Legacy Alliance, and that being part of that group is what brought me in front of you today. In the past, I've been a longtime township chairman for Wacoota Township, and I'm presently on the Goodhue County Board of Adjustments. But I was appointed in June of 2010 by Governor Plenty and reappointed by Governor Dayton on January 2011. The Clean Water Council members, you'll see 5 today, 2 that you've already met. And the Clean Water Council members are unable to attend today, are up for confirmation, is Bradley Kalk, representing the interests of the tribal governments, Gary Burdoff, representing township officers, Keith Hansen, the previous chair, representing business organizations, Frank Jewell, representing organizations of county governments, and John Heron, representing organizations of city governments. Also, Marilyn was planning on being here. Marilyn Bernhardtson, that she's got iced out in western Minnesota, and she represents soil and water conservation districts. Thank you, and I'll open up for questions.
Thank you. Should we have statements from the other two as well first? If you want to add anything, please.
Sure. I'll thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee.
Just give you a quick overview of myself. My name is Todd Renville, and I'm seeking reappointment as the statewide hunting organization representative on the council. Professionally, I'm registered as a professional geologist in Minnesota, and I've worked in the environmental protection industry as a consultant for 25 years. Seems to be the day for Senator Dibble's constituents to appear before this committee, but while I reside in Minneapolis now, I am originally from southern Minnesota and lifelong Minnesotan.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Warren Formo, and I have served on the Clean Water Council since 2011 as one of the two representatives of statewide farm organizations. I'm currently the executive director of the Minnesota Agricultural Water Resource Center, which is a research and education group formed in 2008 by Minnesota farm groups. We currently have 18 members who are farm groups from across the state of Minnesota. And so my primary work is involved in working with those farm groups and their farmer members and other farmers all across the state on water quality issues. My background, I have a degree in agricultural education. Home is a farm near Granite Falls, Minnesota. My maternal grandparents grew up visiting our farm, and now I reside in Eagan, have the opportunity to work with farmers all across the state from there. And professionally, prior to the Minnesota Ag Water Resource Center being formed, I worked with Minnesota corn growers on policy and organizational development. And before that, I had the privilege to farm with my dad and a brother. My brother still operates the family farm from about 1986 until 2000. So, again, thank you.
Where did you say your brother's farm is, your family farm?
Near Granite Falls.
So, Lyle, Senator Keenan's district. Yes, Senator Keenan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it's as a matter of fact, we grew up, I don't know, within 8-10 miles of each other, I suppose, with a Granite Falls address, and I had a Maynard address, but they're right next to each other. But I'm familiar with the farming operation. In fact, a couple of the farms back when I used to farm were in the farm that his family farmed up there in Havelock Township were probably less than a mile apart. So, but thank you, though, for being willing to serve.
Are there questions from members of the committee for either them or for others? Not, can I have a motion? Senator Dibble, since at least one of these folks is from your district.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So are we just moving these individuals?
We'll move all of the remaining ones. I mean, we've already done Lewis Smith and Sandy Rummel. Uh-huh. So Senator Dibble moves that Michael McKay, Warren Formo, Todd Renville, Marilyn Bernardson, Gary Burdorf, Keith Hansen, John Herron, Frank Jewell, and Bradley Culp be recommended to the full Senate for confirmation to the Clean Water Council. And is there further? This is Mr. McKay. You said you're from Wacoota Township.
Yes, I'm from the Red Wing area. My paying job is I'm presently the general manager of the St. James Hotel. So.
Is there further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And I want to thank again all of you and your colleagues on the Clean Water Council. It's very impressive to see all the resumes and the hard work. It is a lot of work people put into volunteering on these citizen councils and boards. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
And with that, there's no further business, so the committee is adjourned.